Pastor David, and this is a special Good Friday edition of Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. It is going to be a little bit more somber this morning. This is the morning where we're thinking of Jesus Christ serving us by willingly being beaten, by standing silent in an outrageously unjust trial, by being mocked, by carrying a wooden beam on his back, and ultimately being nailed to a cross and lifted up in front of a mocking crowd for you and me. That Friday morning, at this very hour, he would have been in the final stages of a trial, already having been beaten, the Bible says, almost beyond recognition in his willingness to suffer on our behalf. I'm going to be reading several scripture verses as we remember and reflect on Jesus' sacrifice for us. But first, let me remind you of a few things. Tonight at 6:30 at First Baptist Church Fairfax, we are having our Experience the Passover event, which includes a free dinner, and I want to welcome you out to that. You will learn a lot about the Passover that the Jews observed every year. It's what Jesus was doing with his disciples at the Last Supper, and you'll understand things behind that you never knew before, and the prophetic significance of so many traditions that Jewish people even to this day observe in the meal and don't realize the close connection with what Christ did for us. It's a wonderful way to reflect, remember Jesus' death. I invite everyone to come to that tonight at 6:30 at First Baptist Church Fairfax. There's information on the Facebook page, Trust the Bible. I also want to encourage you, worship with someone this Sunday for Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you are not sure where to go and you're anywhere in the area, you're of course welcome to come to the 9 o'clock service at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray. I will be preaching there this Sunday morning, and also the 11 o'clock service at First Baptist Church Fairfax, and we would love to have you join with us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Well, I'm going to read a couple passages of Scripture this morning, and I want to remind you, by the way, if something I've said this week, something that's been going through your mind, maybe something someone else has said, has made you wondering, do I really know what Jesus' death and resurrection is all about, and have I really trusted in the events of that weekend to bring me complete and everlasting forgiveness of sin so that I know I am right with God and that there is nothing that I will have to be afraid of coming up on the day of judgment, but God will see me as perfectly righteous because I've trusted in Jesus. And if you have any questions about that, you're not sure, you just want to pray with someone, I would love to talk to you anytime, especially a day like this. My number is 943-8237. I will give that out again at the end of the program this morning. So yesterday I told you about the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. It means, first of all, that when we die, we know that one day in the future we will also be resurrected from the dead. Not just our spirit goes to heaven, but our body actually is restored, resurrected, glorified, made new and whole and more amazing, never to die again, and we also come out from the grave, just like Jesus. Now, I told you, in addition to that, there is this power in the resurrection of Jesus that is applied to us when we believe in our spirit, the moment we believe, even in this life. And so Romans 6, verse 5, continuing from where we left off yesterday, basically explains that even further. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That's the good news of Jesus' death. It applies to us as well. When we believe in him, we, in a sense, die to our old self that is enslaved to sin, and we have this new life, this new ability to live out the commands of God in our life and be successful in life. Let's look now at Luke. I'm going to read Luke's account of Jesus' death. And we think this is Good Friday. This is the day we remember that these events literally happened in a moment in time, in a place on this earth in history. I'm going to start with verse 32 of Luke chapter 23. It tells us that two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." No matter how many times I go through that story, I can't help but think that Jesus did that, and that event is what enables me to have forgiveness of sins and eternal life, that someone would love so much they would sacrifice that much on my behalf. And that promise is true for you today as well. Jesus died in our place. This is what was prophesied all the way back in Isaiah 53, which tells us so plainly that you and I have sinned, but he is the one who is punished for us. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hardly seems fair, does it? If you notice, I'm emphasizing what he did and what we've done. Where we have sinned and rejected God and done what is wrong in God's sight, he is the one who is willingly punished in our place. And the Bible promises, as we've seen, that Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead and now offers new life to you. And the gospel message is simply that you humble yourself and put your trust in what Jesus has done. I invite you to join with us this weekend, tonight at 6:30 or Easter Sunday. Or if you would like to talk to someone about what Jesus has done for you or need some direction in life, please give me a call. My number again is 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.